Hi, and welcome to New Every Day. My name's Carrie.
My name's Jen, and on today's show, we're picking up in week three of the Parable of the Sower with rocks are dangerous. Dun, dun, dun.
Welcome back to the show. So glad that you've tuned in again. And we are going back to talk about the parable of the sower.
Yes.
To finish up the last couple of examples that Jesus gave us about sowing the seed. So I'll just tag you in there, Jen.
So we're going to read that passage from the book of Matthew. This is in the NIV, chapter 13, 1 to 23. We're going to read the whole thing, because for some of you, it might have been a while since you've read this passage. So here we go. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, or produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to people in parables? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this, people's hearts have become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but do not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When the trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. This is the word of the Lord. So just, we want to do a quick review here. The seed is, and I love asking review questions, so I'm going to ask questions, Carrie's going to answer. Let's see how much she remembers.
Okay.
What is the seed?
The word of God.
Check. Okay, how does the sower sow the seed?
Generously, abundantly.
Nice, she's two for two. What, or how does the path become the path?
From people walking on it.
Yikes. All right, why does the evil one steal the seed?
So that it doesn't take root and produce fruit. Was that right?
Yeah, because he knows it will, because it's so good, because the seed is so good, yo. It's true, the seed, Satan would not steal the seed if it was not good.
That's true.
How is hard ground softened?
Well, when we talked in previous shows, if someone's heart was hard, it was softened through the love of other people.
Love. Nothing. What thaws a frozen heart?
True love. An act of true love.
An act of true love.
Thank you, Frozen.
Thank you, Frozen. So, we titled this...
I didn't think this was going to be a Disney review, but it is.
We could do a Disney review, but we're not really sure how that would connect. So we titled this saying, rocks are dangerous. So when I say rocks are dangerous, they are dangerous.
Well, I think of falling rocks, avalanches, etc. What do you mean by dangerous?
Well, dangerous, because if you throw a rock at someone, you can kill them.
That's true.
You can trip on a rock.
Yeah.
We were hiking, and whenever I go hiking, I'm like, huh, if I was to trip and fall, what would happen? And normally it's a hidden rock that
that we stumble on or something like that. Yeah.
And so it's like, huh, rocks can be very dangerous. Mm-hmm. And like, we think in the way that those are very obvious ways that rocks can harm us. But when you think about a plant, if they are planted in rocky soil, the root system actually stays along the top of the soil because the rocks are there. Like, they
can't get past it.
They can't get past it. And so they can't actually go down in times of drought. And
they can't reach the water if there's underwater system.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so rocks actually impede how deep someone's or a tree's roots go down. They also, so they absorb the water. They also, or not the rocks, but the roots. And so this is how important the roots are. And it was interesting because as I was studying this, I guess I never really thought about how important roots are to plants.
Yeah.
And yet roots give stability. Some trees have more underground root system than they have above system, and that's for the purpose of getting water and gaining nutrients. And also they are a storage system in times of drought. And so if it's, you know, dry out, then the roots actually store the water. They are the reserve. So they, you know, and they regulate what's going on. They're nutrient regulators in the rest of the tree, which I thought very interesting how important roots are. And yet it says that some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the roots were scorched and they withered. And I'm like, the rocks got in the way of the plant producing fruit.
Right.
So if we were to, because obviously this isn't a lesson in agriculture. In fact, I needed to ask some of my agriculture friends, tell me about roots. Why are roots important? And it was great, because they told me. But the question is, like, what does that actually mean for us? Like, why would Jesus say that, you know, it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow? So what does it mean that, like, he goes on to explain it, that the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. Well, that would be my first question, is why did he receive it with joy?
Well, we kind of talked about this, and it's like, well, if the soil of your heart is shallow,
yep,
what does that actually mean? Because it's affecting how he actually receives the seed, right?
Yeah. And so, well, I think he receives it with joy because it's good. Like, it's called the good news. Like, what do you mean that I get to go to heaven? Like, what do you mean I can have peace? Like, what do you mean I can have joy? What do you mean I can be set free? Like, it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I want all those things. And people genuinely want all of those things. They want to receive those things with joy because it is joyful.
Mm-hmm. But I had listened to someone discuss this who said they received it with joy, but that was actually a sign that maybe they didn't fully understand the gospel and what the cross was about and that they needed to repent.
So it's the full understanding,
yeah,
of what it means to follow Christ. Because it's one thing to receive a gift, but it's something else totally to actually walk it out. Because I can receive a gift for Christmas and be like, yeah, this is nice.
Nice coat.
And then it hangs in my closet. And people can say, well, why are you not wearing that coat? And I'm like, well, I'd have to put it on. Like, I'd have to...
You received it with joy, and that's it.
Like, wow, this is an amazing coat. Look how warm it is. And then it's like, oh, man, it's going to be so bulky when I sit in the car, and I'm going to have to get it cleaned if it gets dirty. And, like, you can come up with all sorts of reasons why you don't actually put the coat on, even though it protects you from winter, right? It keeps you warm. And so when we talk about receiving the gospel with joy, it's like receiving that coat. It's like, oh, yeah. And then it's like, well, what do you mean in order to receive
and utilize it?
I'm going to have to repent. So we're going to pause for a commercial break. And we want you to think about that for a second. Where in your life have you received the gospel and you want it, but yet you're not really willing to walk it out? So we'll be back after this.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
That's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost, for just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on there. If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Welcome back to New Every Day. We're continuing our show about the parable of the sower and the parable of the rocky soil. So Jen, you left us with a question.
So the question is, I wanted you to think about just how have you received the gospel, but you're struggling with areas of actually walking it out, that whole idea of giving it up, like giving up things. And the thing is, it's that letting go of sin.
Well, because if the roots can't get down, like, what are those rocks?
Yes. And so rocks are sin. It's the sin in our life. And you might be thinking, but I was forgiven of the sin. Well, yes, when we come to Christ, we are forgiven of our sin when we choose to repent. But it's the sinful nature. It's those things that kick. Like I always say, yes, the old is gone, the new has come. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. The old is gone, the new has come. But the old nature will still kick, which is why some people say, well, I thought I've been set free from this. And the answer is, yes, you have been set free from the power of it in your life. But you still have a willful choice to follow in that way. So it's that sinful nature. That's Romans 7:7-25. But then it's also mindset. It's that way of thinking.
Okay, so give me an example. A way of thinking that becomes an impediment to growth?
Yes.
So, what do you mean?
And, like, an example would be, well, we've always done it this way. Like, my parents never said it was wrong to go into a store and not put something in your pocket and walk out with it. Right? So you've always done that. Like, it just... And so, to walk in and go, oh, no, this is wrong, right? You actually have to change the way that you think to be like, I was never told this was wrong, but now I realize it is wrong.
Well, you know what? I can think of an example as a family member of mine when he became a Christian, never thought anything about... like the magazines that are at the checkout, and how, you know, it's often women, like there's even topless women on the front of magazines, and he never thought anything about it.
Yeah.
It's just nice to look at. But then after he came to Christ, he found that it really bothered him, which was very interesting because that was a change of heart.
Right.
Like he had new eyes to see.
Right. And so it's that, those mindsets. And Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That whole idea, we have to ask Christ to renew our mind.
And if righteousness is being set apart for God, right living, that when God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of his son. Mm-hmm. And I think about, if the seed is the word of God, in Timothy it says that the word of God is useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness.
Yes.
In doing what is right, things that God actually loves, and that produce good things in your life, and good things in those around you.
Mm-hmm. And so, to grab a hold of that word of God, and use it for those things, letting it speak into your life to remove those sinful, the mindsets, or when you read it and you challenge it, maybe it's unforgiveness or pride or selfishness, right? Those are all sins that can be so hard to let go of. And, you know, you can think, well, I thought, why can't I just do this? Well, sometimes it is you're so used to doing things. You've trained your mind to be selfish, and you don't even realize that you're being selfish until you read the word of God that sort of just, oh, I am being selfish. I am being unkind. I am being prideful about something. And so those are, if we don't remove those rocks, right, which are illuminated by the Holy Spirit through the power of reading the word, then they create impediments to the roots going down.
You know, I was just thinking about the passage, I think it's in James, mm-hmm. where he talks about how kindness leads to holiness, leads to brotherly kindness, leads to love. And there's a whole walking through of different attributes that should be possessed in increasing measure in the Christian life, right?
Right.
And it says, if you're not growing in these areas, I am paraphrasing, then it's because you've forgotten that you've been forgiven of your past sins.
Mm.
So sometimes, Jen, I wonder if you have these mindsets because people don't actually grasp the idea that I am forgiven and I don't have to do those things anymore. I struggle with that sometimes because I don't, and we've talked about this a lot, how when a sin is identified, I am not so prone to introspection, to identify where it comes from and all these things and get rid of it, instead of saying, well, God's dealt with it. God has dealt with it, and I just choose to believe it, that I'm forgiven and move forward from that. And I realize maybe there's some aspects of life that's not so easy to do. Mm-hmm. But do you have thoughts on that?
With regards, because, you know, and Carrie and I have talked about this a lot, because I tend to be more introspective and saying, well, what is the root cause of this? Because I don't want to go back there anymore. And giving over that, I want to say the root cause area to God so that I don't have to go back. And so you do need the both and to say, I have been forgiven of this. I don't need to do this.
Yeah.
And for me, I feel like you have to go back to, well, where did that first start? And to heal up that place so that I don't have to continue to say, but I've been forgiven of that, you know, and I'm going to cough, so hold on a second. But I believe it is the both and, to recognize that we have been forgiven. Mm-hmm. But also to go to that place and say, God, I don't want to go back to this area. I don't want to do this anymore. So why is it that I continue to do this? And, you know, this passage talks about when the sun comes out, the plant withers away, so they receive it.
Mm-hmm. They spring up.
And then the sun comes out and the plant starts to wither. Well, that's because they didn't have any roots, or they didn't count the cost of following Christ. And that word to fall away in the Greek is scandalizo, or which actually is okay. Like they were scandalized, right? It's like, well, what do you mean I have to do this, right? So they're like, and we talked about this, like the gospel is good news.
Right.
Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins so we could be set free from the power of sin, so we could have a relationship with God. Yay, gospel. Woohoo! Like, yes.
Yeah.
And then they're scandalized by the, what do you mean? this is going to take a little bit of work. Like, what do you mean I have to give up everything? What do you mean I have to die to myself? What do you mean I have to give up my sin? Because the gospel is good news. We can be made right with God. But that means, Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Like, yeah. And you're like, wait, that's hard. Like, you're scandalized. That whole idea, and even Carrie said, like, that whole idea of, I have been forgiven, like, realizing that, like, you even have to claim the forgiveness.
Yeah.
It's not like, I want to say a free pass. It's like, you love that concept of the gospel. Well, the flip side is now that you have to repent, and you have to allow the Holy Spirit to bring up those rocks in your life, those things, those mindsets, that pride, that unforgiveness, that selfishness. So, and actually offering them to him, saying, would you please remove these from my life, so that the roots of the good news and repentance can go deep, so I can fully appropriate forgiveness, the things that I've been set free from in the depths of my life. And so it says, I believe that the deeper you are with Jesus, the less offended you will become, because that gospel message has gone so deep. It's life-giving, right? It has tapped into, I want to say, that passage in Psalms where it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers.
You know, Jen, when I heard that verse, I thought, the tree isn't planted in the river. Mm-mm. It's beside it, which means that the roots have to go down and reach the water source.
Yes. So in order for those roots to go down and reach the water source, the rocks have to come up. Like, the rocks have to be dealt with. So the question is, I love asking questions. I just ask questions all the time.
That's how you get so smart.
Carrie's also good at asking questions, FYI. The question is, what are the rocks in your life? Like, what are the rocks that are impeding the roots from coming down, so that when the, like, because you can sort of sense it in your life. It's like when that sun comes out, right? And it says the sun, it shines on the, or rains on the
wicked.
The righteous and the wicked, right? So the sun comes out on everyone. And it's like, where do you feel like you're withering?
I'm melting.
Yes.
And the sun comes out.
Ask the question, Lord, why is it that I feel so weak in my faith when this happens? Because is there an impediment there? Is there a rock there that my roots aren't going down deep enough? My faith isn't strong enough. And yes, it's true. You can have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. But what is it that when that thing happens, you start, yes, I'm melting, like, oh, please don't ask me to do that, or the fear comes in, or whatever. Well, is that because the roots are hitting against something and actually, like you said, don't have the freedom to get down into that water of life? Giving strength. So I want you to think about that.
And I'm going to do some good thinking on that. So thanks for leaving us with that, Jen. Do you want to pray for us?
Sure. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word and how it reveals. And Lord, would you show us in our life the rocks that are impeding us from our roots going deep down and drinking up your life-giving water. And Lord, if there's unrepentance in our hearts, would you show that to us? We don't want anything separating us from you. And Lord, we're in the areas of our life where we love that sin. Would you convict our hearts and help us to surrender to you? We ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for tuning in again, and we hope that you will ponder some of those questions and grow in a deeper relationship with the God who loves you.